Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Second down, 8. Adeniji at the right tackle. Look out. He got away from Owe. Dancing his way. Look at the footwork. Look at the drive. Being chased by Urban. Oh, my.
Special show for you today. We got a lot of exciting things to discuss. Cincinnati Bengals obviously just finished. They just finished playing the Baltimore Ravens,
yes.
John. And John doesn't have much time.
No.
So, John,
let's start with John.
Why
do you say that?
Well, John, you said you have to go.
And the viewers don't have to know that.
Yeah.
Well, John, they'll know when you go. John, let's
that's how we say goodbye.
So John, let's cut to the chase here. How concerned should I be about the problems on the Bengals' offensive line going into this Ravens playoff game that the Bengals have? Let's just cut to the chase. Tell me.
Here's how concerned you should be. Not at all. And I say that because first of all, you can only control things that you can control, right? What's the worry about how the Bengals offense performs against a defense that knows them so well because they've faced them twice a year, they study them all year, they study them all offseason because this is AFC North, right? Like the Ravens know that they have to stop the Bengals offense if they have any shot of getting over top of them in the division, right? The Ravens defense is really good. They were out there in full strength and capacity on Sunday sans, I guess, only Marcus Peters, right? Marcus Peters is not even that great of a cornerback nowadays anyways. But that full front seven was out there. Roquan Smith was playing his tail off. Like the Ravens defense is really good. It's by far the best challenge that the Bengals offense has in this entire side of the AFC playoffs. So I think no matter what, like the Bengals offense will have struggles against the Ravens defense, but even still, like when they looked like they were actually trying out there, they put up some decent production out there in the first half. And obviously things changed as the game progressed, that they didn't appear to be looking as trying as hard or opening up much of the playbook as the game went on. And that led to 7 punts from Drew Chrisman. But no, I wouldn't be that worried that this offense is going to completely crap the bed in the playoffs. No.
Well, they couldn't get any first down in the second half almost. I mean, The offense didn't look bad. It looked horrible. And Joe Burrow looked like he couldn't get any passes off. Yeah. And honestly, and you're saying it was a simple playbook, fine. But even with that simple playbook, this is one of the most elite offenses in the NFL. They couldn't, it was 1 down, 2 down, 3 down, punt. 1 down, 2 down, 3 down, punt. Take it down, there you go, there you get, punt. And honestly, we were all sick of it.
I felt the same way. I think I sent you guys a note afterwards and was like, should I be worried? I feel scared.
Well, look.
But I'm not.
You shouldn't be worried.
And John has helped me not be scared. Yeah. And a few other folks.
There's also this aspect. This game mattered, sure. It mattered just to avoid flipping a coin to see like where the game was played. But we know that when the chips are down, when you absolutely need points, when you need offensive production, when the stakes are at its highest, that's when the Bengals offense under Joe Burrow plays the best. The stakes were not at its highest here. The Bengals weren't trying to score 30 out there. They were just trying to keep the Ravens offense at bay. And knowing what the Ravens offense was out there, they knew that the fight just wasn't really there. But Anthony Brown wasn't going to do anything.
Look, John, you are not a former football player. Hoji, yes, he was a QB coach.
Yeah.
But I did request, I did petition to let the Bengals to let me try out. So I'm the closest to being, I mean, obviously, I'm not, you know, Bridget, I don't want to assume anything, but I think even Bridget hasn't played football. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about playing the game of football. All of you, right. Even Bridget, listen.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. You have to be solely focused on the task at hand. You have to be thinking about playing football. And this is why we see the Super Bowl hangovers. This is why we see all the weird stuff. The Bengals, it wasn't just what happened on the field with Lamar Hamlin. It was also the whole aftermath and the whole, hey, the NFL is not, you know, they didn't give us anything.
They hate us.
The other teams. Yeah, the NFL.
The NFL hates us. Why don't you just call it as you see it? The NFL hates the Bengals.
Let's be
we
honest,
all know
John.
It. Let's it's be honest, anti-Bengalism.
John, there's a new report out, and this was on your website, John, cityjungle.com, this comment about...
It's also your website, Daddy.
Yeah. It is a lot of people's websites. It's the people's website. And someone said that, look, Mr. their coach, he basically, they say that he left Buffalo right after the game and didn't even visit Hamlin. So he was just basically trying to avoid the forfeit. This is what a lot of people are reporting now.
But, well, I actually think, while I normally don't like when you say this is what a lot of people are saying, actually a lot of people are saying that right now.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is the Bengals were dealing with all that distraction. Of course they were going to come out flat. What did you expect? They're just going to play like normal. They're football players. They need to be focused on football. And I think they got this one out of their system. John.
That's a good point. Again, like, they needed to win, sure. But they knew that the Ravens weren't out there to try to win either. The Ravens were out there to keep the Bengals' offense and their entire starting lineup on the field as long as possible to roughen them up a bit. The Ravens found this line that they were just trying to toy with. They would go over a little bit, then they would go right back on the other side, right? They would do it just enough to not be penalized for some of the antics that they were doing, but they weren't actually out there to try to win. Like, we knew this because they didn't play their full offense. They didn't have Mark Andrews, J.K. Dobbins, Kevin Zeidler out there. They had their third-string quarterback out there. They didn't even try to have Tyler Huntley out there because they're saving Tyler Huntley for this game because they know Lamar Jackson's not out there. Like, the Ravens are just this mess out there that they weren't trying to actually win. They were making this whole facade like, oh, we want this playoff game. You know, we're going to vote for this, so we're going to, we could have this playoff, we could have this coin flip out there. No, they were just trying to get the Bengals out there to just try their hardest, and the Bengals weren't about it. They were just like, no, we're just going to be out there. We're going to go through the motions. We're going to just get this ugly win.
Well, I think
Kappa got hurt.
And that's another thing I want to talk about. But John, just going back to your point, I think that actually put more pressure on the Bengals because it's like, you better win this one. And I feel like the Bengals, they were in their own heads before that whole charade by the Ravens of like, we're not going to play our guys. But like you said, they knew that better than the chances of maybe winning, which they weren't going to do, and maybe winning the flipping coin, which they were, you know, 50-50 chance, better than those chances, the chances that, hey, we can basically get a couple guys injured. And so let's just make, and I really think that was their agenda. And John Harbaugh, basically by denying it, he admitted to it. But John, I want to talk about Kappa, because according to the very beloved Ted Karras, everybody loves this guy, but he says Kappa is the heart of that offensive line, and he's been playing like an elite guard.
He has been.
John, I know this is going to be a silly question. You're going to say it's silly, but look, Kappa plays right guard. Lyle Collins is a big guy, okay? He's not that healthy for a tackle, but maybe, here's what I'm saying. He plays right next to him. It's one position over. It's like when you go to buy shampoo and the bubble bath formula is like right next to it, you accidentally buy the bubble bath formula and, you know, it can work. Yes, I mean, you might end up with a big bubble on your head like you look like an astronaut, but my point is, John, you can just, it's right next door. He's right next door. He's the right guard. He's a big guy. He can just bulldoze people. What do you think?
What's the question?
What is the question?
Can Lyle Collins come back as a guard?
No.
Like, he tore his ACL.
Yeah, he's not back until next season.
Oh, Lyle Collins tore his ACL. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, so that I.
We have two injuries on the offensive line.
Then we're really not doing well.
Yeah, no. I don't want to go out here on that note, but I will say this. The Ravens are bullies, and we know they're bullies because we know that they cannot compete with the Bengals from a talent perspective. That's why they're pulling all these cheap antics, these cheap tricks. They're trying to get the Bengals off of their stance a little bit, and that's exactly what they're going to try to be doing on Sunday night, because the Ravens team isn't going to be that much different. They're going to have a few more guys playing, but they're going to play the similar type of game, and it's going to be an ugly game, and if the Bengals are to win, it's going to be an ugly win, and that's just what it's going to be. But the Bengals can still definitely win. That's still what I would probably expect out there. So until next week, I hope that I'm talking about a win, so I'll catch you guys later.
See you, John.
I wanted John's opinion on T. Wow. Higgins injury.
He had to go
right at 8 o'clock. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Right on time.
He's a punctual guy.
He is. Yeah, all right. So, but I guess at this point, yeah, go ahead.
There's a lot
I'm
to say.
I'm curious about T. Higgins' injury. I mean, we've got a line conversation to have, certainly. I mean, seeing Kappa kind of get rolled in the leg like that was horrifying when we're trying to think about our postseason journey and our run. And I think it's more frustrating even when you think about last season, and that we were like a couple good O-line guys away from the Lombardi. And that's what sort of hit me in the stomach. I was like, oh, please don't let this be the one missing ingredient. But I mean, what's the guy's name? Max Scherping? Whatever his name is.
I think it's Sherpy.
He's had, what, 4 or 5 years in the NFL? This is
yeah, I think he was on the Cowboys before.
So, I don't know. I'm hoping that what ails us last year is not what comes back to bite us in the ass this year.
Well, yeah, I'm a little bit stressed out too. But I like what John was saying. Look, here's the way I see it, okay? What's actually, I think, starting to bubble up and spring up in the NFL is a new rivalry. And it's a rivalry between the Bengals and the Ravens, because the Ravens really did do us wrong. I mean, if you watch that game, they were being nasty. We have the regional thing going on. I don't think the Steelers are good enough anymore to be the main rivals to the Cincinnati Bengals, nor the Browns. But if you look at the Ravens, and this is a big rivalry. I think the main thing going into this game is who is in a better headspace? It's the Bengals. Who's in a better talent space? It's the Bengals. Who's angry? Who's got something to prove? Bengals. Right. And if I may, yeah, who's got the experience now? The Bengals. The Bengals more recently have been to the Super Bowl.
And look, go ahead.
And so I think, personally, which we're going to see, is a big, big, big victory this coming Sunday. I think the Bengals are just going to come in there, and you're going to see them put out all the moves. And it's going to be a major win for the Bengals.
Major win. And here's why. It is a quarterback-driven league, folks. And the Ravens, we don't know if Lamar Jackson is going to play. We don't know if he wants to play. We don't know if he likes the game of football. Well, he does. He does like the game. I don't know if he likes the Baltimore Ravens.
He's not practicing. So we know he's not.
I don't think he likes
play.
The Baltimore Ravens very
He doesn't like
much
the Baltimore
right
Ravens.
Now.
He had every year it's a new, have you noticed? Every year they have a new ligament. It's a PCL this time, right?
Yeah, they keep inventing ligaments.
Yeah, which is fine. Because they know no one's going to do the research. But anyways, here's the thing. They say that was supposed to be a couple of weeks. It's been like a couple of years now, I think, since he's played. And their backup, Tyler Huntley, he has not been very good. And the Bengals have, I would say, the biggest advantage at quarterback in the entire league. Now, a lot of people are saying, no, you know, Patrick Mahomes is the MVP. I don't know, so-and-so is the MVP. Jalen Hurts is the MVP. So I have decided to be objective here and hire an independent researcher.
Yes.
To tell us who the real MVP of the NFL is. So I want to introduce.
Finally.
Here's Alexis. What we need, facts and data.
Yes. Yeah. And here, unbiased. You will not believe the analytics that this researcher has found.
Show
it
us.
It is amazing. Yeah. So welcome to Alexis Taylor.
Hello, Alexis.
Hello.
Welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Alexis, I am just fascinated by your dedication to the game of football and to analytics.
Yeah.
And your resume says that you are an independent researcher currently tasked with determining who the true MVP of the NFL is. Now, You, I've heard you have your own analytics site. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, like Pro Football Focus or PFF. Well, right. We are TFF, and that's True Football Focus. And essentially, you know, we take a lot more into account when grading a player, such as bad coaching or play calling, like, you know, out in Denver, or, you know, franchise's history, like the Browns, or just bad vibes.
Yes.
Yeah, all vibes. Wow.
That's a very important measurable quality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vibes are very important.
And I love the truth. I love the truth. I love the true football facts and true analytics. I love that, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so, yes.
We haven't heard this before, truth. Yeah, go for it.
Truth is great. So let me ask you something. How do you grade Joe Burrow?
Love him.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. He's actually broken our system. It's a scale of 1 to 100, and he is at a 5,300.
He is basically perfect
NFL roster all on his own.
Wow.
That makes so much sense. Yeah.
This is amazing. You have come in. Let me just summarize for the viewers. You have come in as an objective, an analytical reporter.
You know,
working for a website that no one has heard of up until this very moment. But hey, that's not a bad thing because it's new. And
you'd be surprised. Sometimes there's a whole demographic looking for a different version of a website.
A different version of the truth.
Yeah.
And you're telling us that in a scale of 1 to 100, Joe Burrow is not 2 times that or 3 times that, but 53 times
53.
Perfection?
So here's what I would bet, that one of the data points is going to be good vibes and swag on a 26-year-old man confident enough to wear a white turtleneck that looks like he took it out of a middle-aged lady's closet. If you can pull that off... That's got to be at least 1,000 points.
Well,
Alexis, you know, Alexis, if I may, a lot of people get on the case of Pro Football Focus because I don't know if you know this, but they're located in Cincinnati.
Right.
Where is True Football Focus? Where's your headquarters there, Alexis?
We are located shortly out of the nation's capital in Arlington, Virginia.
Wow. Doesn't get any more objective than
that's where the CIA
is.
Amazing. Wow.
She's got all the information.
Okay.
So, Alexis, let me ask you something. Here's a question that a lot of people are going to be asking. They say, look, he has a 5,300 out of 100. That's great.
That's great.
What about what the standard systems would calculate as mistakes? His interceptions.
Yeah. Fumbles, interceptions.
What do you do with those?
You see... Every other type of, you know, analytics, they would say, oh, you know, you threw an interception, and they don't account for things like drop passes or, you know, receiver fell down, butterfingers, things like that. So, you know, we really take that into account because a lot of those Burrow interceptions are really not on him. A lot of them are, you know, just not.
I'm wondering, Alexis, with the 5,300 score, if really any of those interceptions are on him. It would sort of seem like none.
No.
So Alexis, look. Perfect. So we know that Joe Burrow, he said that a lot of his interceptions were from batted balls. And he's right. I mean, most of them, they came from batted balls. They're freak accidents. They were accurate passes, but they were batted into the air and intercepted by T.J. Watt. And who else? Was it Myles Garrett? I don't remember. All those passes.
I mean, it's, you know, T.J. Watt, Myles Garrett. That's what they do.
Right. Yeah.
Thieves.
So, but here's my question. Those are still interceptions. So how are you – who is being, you know, credited with those interceptions if it's not Joe Burrow?
So Carson Palmer, actually.
Wow.
Me out. Now, I know, you know, Carson hasn't played in a while, but his last, you know, season – in Cincinnati, he had some balls that should have been interceptions.
Yeah,
you know,
I remember, by goodness,
they weren't. But you know, as I've you know been watching Cincinnati for so long, Adam Jones and Chris Henry came from my alma mater, so I've always been keeping an eye out since they've been in the league. And I noticed, and I said, you know what, that's not right. That's not right that Joe Burrow has these interceptions and Carson does not. And
amazing.
We actually are petitioning the league to have that rectified. You know, just some karmic balance for the franchise. Yeah.
And so I'm guessing Carson's rating must be pretty darn low on the 0 to 100. Can it go negative on the TFF?
No, we have no negatives. And, you know,
He's a solid zero. Yeah.
And Carson's a great guy, I'm sure, you know.
Sure.
Charitable.
Yeah. He's a bum.
He's a different B word, but yeah, very close. But let me just, Alexis.
Well, they have to go somewhere.
They have to go somewhere. And what she's saying is that, look, those interceptions should have been charged against the Cincinnati Bengals team. And to make up for that now, they're being charged against
the debit system.
And it's not fair. And so she...
Basically, if I may, Carson Palmer is carrying the, shall we say, cross.
Right. No, Joe Burrow is, right? I mean, Joe Burrow is the one who's he is.
Well, you're shall we say crucifying Palmer for the sins of Joe Burrow? Is that
no? Look,
Joe Burrow has no sins. Let's be clear.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Alexis, let me ask you something. You are petitioning the league. How is that whole process going?
Surprisingly, it's going well. You know, wow. I know someone who knows someone, and you know, we've gotten far. We are in the second round of hearings, and you know, Carson's legal team—they're not too pleased about this, but. They don't really have access to the data that we do, so
yeah,
you know, they're a little biased also, and you know, I am completely unbiased, and I think that we may have a favorable resolution a little bit after the Super Bowl.
You know what the resolution's gonna be, right? We're gonna sit and figure out how many of those interceptions we'd credit to Palmer, and then they're gonna make us flip a coin. Heads is gonna be attributed to Burrow, tails to Palmer. I mean, that I think that's the only way the NFL knows how to do resolutions.
Well, we have a solution for that. We're just going to use a coin with two tails.
Oh, yeah. This is brilliant.
This is brilliant.
TFF. Alexis,
I mean, this is what real research... look, John is great. He's not on the show right now, so we can say this, though. John is a great kid. He's a great kid. He works really hard. But there are levels to this, as they say. There are levels. Mm-hmm. And Alexis has taken it to a whole other level. Alexis, we really love having you on the show, and we, before you go, could we get your prediction for this Sunday, the wild card game that features Joe Burrow? And I want to know who your player of the game is. I have a good feeling.
I have a guess.
I think I know who it is, but I want to know the score and your player of the game. Or we could say your Joe Burrow of the game, because like you said, he is like the 53-man perfect roster on his own. Yes, go ahead.
Honestly, I think that 34 points will be scored by the Bengals. Joe Burrow will be responsible for 28 of those points. And he will be my player of the game.
I thought you were going to say Asiasi. Okay.
No. It's unfortunate that he will not carry the team the way Joe will. But, you know, I think it'll be a win for everyone. You know, when Joe... does amazing like he always does, all of Bengals Nation is happy, and that is just our desired outcome.
Thank you. That is fantastic. If you need to get back to the library or back to the, you know, researching, you're free to go, or you can stick around. We'll be wrapping up the show. Thank you so much, Alexis.
You know what? I'm going to sit here and let y'all have it. Happy
we have to use all these facts you've given us, these TFF facts.
Yeah. Can you tell us, though, before you go, Alexis, are there two or three categories? It sounds like Joe Burrow ranks high in all of them, but are there like any that he's just particularly blowing it out of the water?
Honestly, the vibes are immaculate.
Yeah.
The vibes, you know, and it's like, it's neck and neck with the talent. The talent is, you know, off the charts, obviously.
Yeah.
From LSU to the pros, he's just taken off, you know. It's unfortunate that his ACL couldn't keep up with him, but him and that arm, amazing. The vibes, the Cartier glasses, cranberry suit, like, come on.
The cranberry suit.
Alexis, let me ask you something. I believe I read an article of yours talking about body language and facial gestures as well. And I know Joe Burrow, he always looks like a winner. And that has to account for a lot.
Oh, of course. He is just, you can just smell the champion coming out.
Oh, the smell. Court. That's another one.
The smell of the championship.
You had the whole,
It's like toasted almonds, is what they say.
And it radiates, you know, you can see his teammates, his receivers, they really just buy into what he's doing. And, you know, they would do anything for him.
Yeah.
Amazing. It's just so interesting. It's just so nice, so refreshing.
He's like the groom on top of a wedding cake.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So, Bridget, your prediction, please.
We're already going to predictions.
I feel like without John, anyone... I don't know if we have anything else to say.
Does no one else understand the game of football?
What obviously, Alexis.
Alexis, more than this,
what might happen
have to...
Sunday night?
Well, Bridget, what would you like to discuss?
So I am really curious about T. Higgins' injury. T. Higgins got hit pretty hard, and they said, what did they call it, a pointer? Is that a thing? Is that an injury? Do we this think is, that's going to
I just said we
have...
don't have John, Bridget, but go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know. I'm just curious how that impacts his ability to practice this week and how, if at all, that... Maybe I'll just put it out to our viewers or listeners. Let us know what you think. If you think T. Higgins' injury is a factor at all, if it's like NBD, dude's got it. I think he's got it. We are undefeated now. I bought a T. Higgins jersey on Thanksgiving, and since I received it, we are undefeated. And so I'm just gonna back myself right out of that. T. Higgins is fine. Never mind. Prediction is Bengals win 28-24.
Well, I mean, you just saw the T. Higgins prediction that we got from Ferocho Cinco. So I just hope you saw that. 2 touchdowns, 140 yards. But I just want to say, before we end, a lot of people know that we have a Patreon. And they're wondering where the money goes. They always want to know what you're doing with the money. They don't just trust you with their money. And this is a big part of it, is this kind of research that we're doing with Alexis. That's why we can't get more analysis from her. It's going to be out of our, you know, it's going to be out of basically what we can afford. But before we close, I want to get Hoji's prediction, please.
Hoji's prediction, please. My Hojoscopes, so to speak. Well, it was a rough day yesterday. Somehow it's been a rough week for the Bengals. I mean, they had the Bills game, which they would have won. They tried to be kind, and then the NFL punished them. And you know what? There's a hashtag never forget about that. The Bengals are never going to forget that their act of kindness was met by betrayal, like on the Ides of March, when Caesar was stabbed by his best friends, including Brutus. Yes, I'm looking at you, Buffalo Bills. You were the ones we were trying to help, and then you stabbed us in the back. Fine. I'm looking at you, Ravens. You think that by twisting the leg of our best offensive lineman and by slamming the chest of our wonderful, joyful T. Higgins, you can put us out? No, no, no. You've never seen a Rocky movie, have you? What you're about to see is a karmic storm, the proportions of which we have yet to fully fathom. Because karma is on the side of the Bengals. The Bengals did the right thing with the Bills, and they played like gentlemen against the Ravens. And that karmic storm has been building, festering. And what you're about to see this coming Sunday is a downpour of karma for Bengals against everybody else.
Wow.
It's going to catapult. It's going to be like a flood, an avalanche that will pour this team, will rush forward into where? Right into the AFC Championship and then the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't predict a close game. I predict an angry Bengals against these bugle boys in purple, these... how shall we call them? You know, really, I am really upset at the Ravens. Anyways, I predict 41-17 score. And that 17 will be junk time, garbage time points. Mm. Player of the game will be Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow will be like a madman straight out of hell. His ranking of 5,300 in this game alone will go to 5,400 on the TFF. I'm going to be checking TFF, by the way, Alexis. I'm going to be checking every day to see if that score goes up. I predict that as my horoscope.
Well, speaking of raging a storm festering, I have to cut this show short. I'm not feeling well. But I will say this. This is going to be an interesting game, okay? Because it looks like Lamar Jackson, like we said, either his injury... I don't know what his injury is, but it looks like he is trying to show his value by having the Ravens fall flat on their face, and that's what they've been doing on offense. So they don't look like they have a chance. But then if you saw the game last week, that physicality, I mean, that makes anything possible. They can make a few turnovers happen early. You know, maybe they get, you know, they get, J.K. Rowling is going to be back, and maybe they get a couple of long runs, right? anything could happen. Wait,
now, hold on. J.K. Rowling, by the way, just for people who know, okay, running back, because I know her mostly as the author of the Harry Potter series.
She's versatile. But here's the thing.
She's had some bad press recently. This might be a way to, a little PR stunt.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she's got the anger streak.
Oh, it
she's
could very, be that
yeah.
too.
Yeah. She runs angry. Here's the thing. They could on defense make it happen such that the offense can play conservative and do just enough and win a low score game. So this is kind of strange, but I'm going to say that the Ravens pulled it off. Wow. I think they do. I think they pulled it off. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I do think they pulled it off. And the final score will be 38-10 Cincinnati. That is my prediction.
Wait a minute.
TFF hold on. Score of 600. Yeah, go ahead.
Put it in reverse here. Now, if the Ravens are pulling it off, as you say. Yeah. What exactly, how does that lead to a Bengals win by 38?
I thought that was obvious, 10? But okay. Once again, let me explain. When you break a vase in your house or a cookie jar and you have to hide it from your mom or from your wife, what do? You tape it back together.
Okay.
And you try to hide what you did.
Hide the mistake.
Eventually, that person, that authority figure, that female empowered Bridget, I know you like that, that very empowered.
This is only a metaphor, Daddy. I wouldn't really call this feminism.
Right. But what happens is eventually they pull off the tape and the whole thing crumbles. The Ravens have been trying to hold their season together. They don't have a real offense. They don't have a quarterback that wants to play for them. And the season has been, they have a winning record. They were pretty close to the AFC North title. But finally, the playoffs, they're going to pull off the tape. We're going to see the real Ravens, which is a bad team at this point.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Does that make sense? I thought it was pretty clear from the beginning, but
it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't, but wow. Yeah. Wow.
So
can we have Alexis on every show?
I want to get Alexis every show.
The positivity, Alexis, that you... I mean, just the mere fact that vibes factor in. I've been saying mojo and vibes should factor in for years into statistics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was amazing.
Amazing.
And so with that...
Yeah.
I want to thank Alexis Taylor of TFF. Obviously, John the Brain Sheeran was on here earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Did a great job. Bridget the HR, Jan Cars. Even Bridget was here.
That's about all we can say.
Yeah, even Bridget.
Don't forget to subscribe, turn on notifications, and follow us everywhere you get your podcasts. We'll see you next time. So long, Esfiti. Bye.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.